Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the Word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
We're in a series called Be Rich. And where do we get that? It's actually in the Bible. If you can open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18, and we will read those scriptures. And my topic today is called Four Laws to Financial Freedom. Okay, four laws to financial freedom, and we're only going to go through three of them. And next Sunday, I'm going to finish the series. It's a mini series, and I'm going to finish it with one more, the most crucial, most important principle for financial freedom, and you don't want to miss it. We're also having classes right now on Wednesday night. It's a Financial Peace University. I was surprised how many people we had show up. You can still do it. You can still show up this Wednesday. And those are amazing. They will change your life and make you financially free, help you become financially free. Okay? So don't miss those. Now, I want to tell you a little story before I read the Bible verses, okay? 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. I heard about this man. His wife's credit card was stolen. All right? And a couple of months later, the bank calls him and says, "Hey, we got good news. We found your wife's credit card." Husband, without hesitation, says, "Tell the thieves to keep it. They spend less than my wife." Ever been in financial trouble? Right? A lot of what we deal with and a lot of stress in our life happens because we got financial struggles. We all do. For first 10 years of our marriage, we had financial troubles that almost broke us apart. My wife packed her bags a few times to go to her mother's house. Thank God she only made it halfway. Then she returned. True story. We had our phone shut off. They came to shut off our water because we didn't pay the bill. And it wasn't because we weren't making enough money. If you are American, if you live in this nation, and you do, and some of you are watching online maybe from other countries, but if you live in America, most of the Americans live in a one top percent of the income earners in the world. And yet we're so full of stress and anxiety and fear, and a lot of it has to do with money. Amen? And so today I want to give you those three out of four principles of how to gain that financial freedom. Now, obviously, I don't have time to explain everything in every detail. That's why you got to come to Financial Peace University classes on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. A little plug in there. But I want to just give you three today and one next week. But let's read our scriptures. 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. Can you read that? Can we make it bigger? Thank you. That's awesome. Good job, guys. Paul is writing to a young pastor named Timothy. Paul started the church after 2 years. He said, "Timothy, I see a potential. You pastor it. I'm out of here. I'm starting another church in Philippi or Rome or whatever." Timothy writes back to Paul after a while and says, "Rich people, they give me trouble in church." And Paul says something like this. He said, "Teach or command." Let's do the NIV version, but that's fine. "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in" who? God. Who is your trust in today? In God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. A lot of people miss it just by one step. They trust in the gift and forget about the giver. And God says, "Listen, why would you trust in a gift? Gift comes and you can eat a gift. You can drive a gift till it rusts, right?
You can live in a gift till it falls apart, or tornado takes it out, or flood takes it out. But a giver of gift, especially our God, is everlasting. So a gift is not everlasting. A giver is. Listen to this. What God is trying to teach us is that gift is not forever. The giver is. So what God is saying, go after the giver, not the gift. And a lot of you are like, well, but God is stingy. I heard that you're supposed to be poor. That's why I stopped coming to church, because all it is they want you to give their money to the priest or whatever, and then they want us to be poor. That's what some churches teach, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Listen what the Bible teaches. Put that verse back up. He says, but put their hope in God, who measly, what does it say? Who richly provides. Huh. Maybe you know a wrong God. Maybe your God is just, he's broke himself. How can he give you anything? My God is not like that. If you believe in evolution, maybe you can come up with, you know, evolution is harsh and survival of the fittest, and there's not much for anybody else. But if you serve God, he's the one who created this world. It's not your world. It's not my world. It's his. And he's the one who created you. And he's the one who gave you the ability to do what you need to do. Amen. And here's what he reminds us. It's all his anyway. You can trust him. But here's another little, I like that, who richly provides. Nobody here wants to be poor. Come on. Nobody wants to live from paycheck to paycheck, where you can't even go on a little camping trip because you got to work. You got to work two jobs. Your dog has to work. Your kids have to work. I mean, nobody wants to be like that. And I like that, the God who richly provides. God has more than enough for everything that you need. Listen to me. All right? Now, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Verse 18. Command them to do good, the rich people, and to be rich. Here's where we get it. So God, Bible actually says that you should be rich. For what? In good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Here's the problem. If I can't pay my phone bill, if I can't pay my water bill, I'm not sharing. Not much. I might share, you know, something small with you, like I'll buy you a bottle of water at the gas station. But to be really generous means you have to have something. Amen. And that means you have to have your finances in order. And that's why today we're doing this series, How to Be Rich. And we're talking about the laws to financial freedom. Because God really does want you to be free. Here's what the Bible says. Owe no man anything but to love him. The only thing you should owe somebody is to love him. That's what God wants. And he says a borrower is a slave to the lender. So God doesn't want you to borrow. He doesn't want you to, please, can I borrow some? And then it's a trap. Borrowing money is a trap. Although we live in a culture that our kids grow up with, well, yeah, you just get a credit card and, you know, and all of us are living beyond our means. So here it is. Are you ready for point number one? Point number one of steps to financial freedom is, and they're all R, they start with R, remember. Remember where your wealth comes from and who it belongs to. Deuteronomy 8:18, I believe, it says this, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get That's in the Bible. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. What kind of covenant did God swear to our fathers? Who is our first father of faith? Abraham. What did God say? And I will bless you. That's the covenant. And I will make you a blessing. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. So what is the covenant that God has with you through Abraham? That he will bless you and make you a blessing. Here's what God wants. The extra that God gives you is not for you to spend and gorge. It's for you to be a blessing with. Here's one thing I had to realize, that the extra, so let's say you, most of us, when we get a raise at work, what do we do? Celebrate. Celebrate? Okay, thank you. What else? We spend more now. And we said before we got a raise, we said, God, if you give me a raise, I'll start giving more. Not true. When we get a raise, we buy a new boat. Or we go and trade in a good car and get a little better car. Give them our car and a bunch of money. Right? That's what we do. That's what people do. But listen to me. When God blesses us, it's not, when God gives us an increase, it's not so we can bump up our things. It's so we also give. And now it's okay to bump up your things. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a sin. But don't forget, when God blesses you, it's not so you can build a bigger house. It's so you can give more. God says, I to Abraham, and I will bless you and make you a blessing. And then he says, and those who bless you will be blessed. Who are you blessing today? Watch this. God says to Abraham, whoever blesses you will be blessed. Earl, would you come up here, please? Brother Earl, Kids Church directors, I want to bless you with this microphone. Okay. All right. Earl is like Abraham right here, okay? God says, if I bless you, what will happen to me? Thank you. Hold on. Watch this. Here's what you rub in yourself. When you stop blessing people, when you use the money that God blessed you with just for yourself only, you're rubbing yourself of a blessing. If I bless you, guess what God is going to do to me? Bless me. Because it says those who bless you will be blessed. I want to bless you. Why aren't we blessing one another? We didn't get that principle yet. That a blessing comes from blessing. When I bless you, you bless me. Or God blesses me through you or through however he wants to. When I bless Earl, God blesses me. When Earl blesses me, God blesses Earl. Listen to this again. God says, for those who bless you will be blessed. And those who curse you will be cursed. So by blessing, you bring a blessing into your life. By blessing others, you bring a blessing into your own life. By cursing others, you bring a curse into your own life. That's why you shouldn't curse people with your thoughts. That's why you shouldn't curse people with your words. I'm preaching here. Because when I curse you in my thought, I'm cursing myself. When I haven't forgiven my neighbor, guess what I'm doing? And I'm thinking evil. Oh, I hope he crashes his car. I hope, you know, he breaks his legs. I hope his dog gets a toothache or a broken leg, you know, so they need to spend money. You know, you start cursing them in your head, in your thoughts. When I curse, I get cursed. When I bless, I get blessed. Thank you, Earl. Give him a hand. Brother Abraham, Earl. So the first principle is remember where your wealth comes from. You got to write this verse. And because some of us, and I used to believe that too, that your job is the source of your blessing. It's not. Stop expecting your job to be the source of your blessing. Some people think your savings account is your source of your blessing. Your investments, your government. Government was never meant to be your source of blessing. They promised to bless us. If I win, everybody gets free stuff, right? But the truth is, when they win, they'll tax you, okay? It's like credit cards. Use our stuff and you get free flyer miles. Yeah, after I paid 24% interest, you gave me 2% back on my flyer miles. So you still win by 20%+. You see, that's how government works. Yeah, give it to me and then I'll bless you. Our source of blessing is not our government. It's not your spouse who's the source of your blessing. It's not your parents who is source of your blessing. It's not even your nation who's source of your blessing. It's God. God is the source of my blessing. I come to Him. Now God uses different people to bless me, but I still remember that I trust in God. I thank people, but I trust God. I'm thankful when you bless me, but I trust God. The Bible says, cursed is he who puts his trust in man. Man will fail you. And all the ladies said, no, I mean man, human. Man will fail you. God is my source and my supply. Romans 11:36 says this. For everything comes from God and exists by His power and is intended for His glory. All glory to Him forever. So everything you have is already His. Guess what? He gave you your life. He gave you your wisdom, your mind. He blessed you. He blessed you even to be here today to hear this. Because there's people who are struggling with money right now and they don't know where to turn. They're at home watching TV and listening to another commercial, how they can get another credit card. They're listening to another commercial, how the answer to all their problems will be their credit card. And it's going to just get them deeper into debt. Amen. Now, here's a mistake people make when they think of God and bless and their money. A lot of people, even Christians, separate their money from God. So a lot of Christians do this. Yeah, I serve God, but what does that have to do with my money? Everything. Your money and your God is connected. Your Bible says, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So you can't separate those two. Here's what some people do. They say, I'm going to serve God on Sunday, but make money my way Monday through Saturday. Okay? And sometimes those ways are not necessarily God's ways. Because we have this idea, if you want to make it in this world, you got to cut some corners. You got to break some rules. No one gets rich just by doing what's right, right? We live in that type of a culture that tells us that rich people got there because they were crooked. Because they broke the law. And some people say, well, that's why I have to separate God and my relationship with God and my money. That's why people cheat on their taxes. Because they don't think God can bless them enough or they can have enough to pay taxes and do it right way. Have you heard that scandal in Wells Fargo where the Wells Fargo telemarketers would open accounts for people? Millions of accounts. They didn't call people. They didn't ask my permission to open an account. But what they would do, they would open an account and then you wouldn't even know about that account. But the fees would be rolling in. The Wells Fargo Bank got caught and they had to pay a huge fine and their CEO was fired, I believe. Because of this, because they were opening these illegal things. Have you ever clocked in at work and then left and went to the gym and then came back and right? Been there, right? Have you ever, maybe you're in business, overcharged people because you thought you can get away with it? Why did you do that? Because you separated your God with your money. And you said, if I can screw this old lady over, I will be happy. That's how you succeed in life. You screw people over, and that's how you succeed in life. And here's where you got it wrong. For you shall remember, Deuteronomy 8:18, the verse before that, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, so He can establish the covenant with you that He made with your fathers, mainly Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? So listen to me. You got to bring your money and your God together. Money is not evil. It's a tool, right? The love of money is evil. Okay? And if Monday through Saturday we love our money and Sunday we just love God, we most likely love money. Okay? So am I making a point? Is this point coming through to you? Amen? So that's why you shouldn't be afraid to give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Now, some of you are like, what about loopholes, Pastor? Loopholes. I'm a business person. There's loopholes. Well, use all the loopholes you can get. That's not doing anything wrong. Use the loopholes. Unless the government closes the loophole, use it. Go for it. But a lot of us, a lot of people go over the loopholes. Amen? And wealth that's gained the wrong way will leave the wrong way. How many of you like watching the drug dealer shows on Netflix? Narco, thank you. Narcos, right? Billions of dollars, didn't know where to hide it. What happened to the dude? He was running around with a big beard. Nothing against big beards or anything, but he was just wild. Family gone. Got shot. 38 years old, got shot. A living dog is better than a dead lion, Bible says. It's better to be a live dog than a... I'd rather not have so much, but live life to the fullest. Come on, somebody, right? You can get to financial freedom God's way. And you don't have to break rules. So later, you're watching over your back if anybody's coming after you. So principle number one, you got to bring your money and your God together. It's together. All of my life, everything I do has to be for the glory of God. Number two is remember to save. Huh, what? Did you know that God commands us to save? That's another unspiritual word you shouldn't say in church, Pastor Alex. Save. We don't save. We trust God. He provides for us every day. No, Bible says, yeah, you should trust God, but God also says, don't take parts of the Bible and ignore the rest. Bible says you gotta save. Listen to this. Proverbs 21:20. A wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends everything he gets. All quiet in this church. A wise man saves for the future, but a foolish man and woman spends everything he gets. So what does God want us to do? Save for the future. Save for the future. According to Dave Ramsey, if you're not coming to the class on Wednesday, no matter what I do, and I was so disappointed. There are some people in church that didn't come to that class. And I'm like, I know your situation. I've counseled you. You need to be in that class. You're not there. I was like, I'm going to text you and give it to you. And then I'm like, what good is that going to do? I'm just going to make somebody mad and they'll leave church. Okay, fine. I'm like, God, deal with them. Get them, God. But according to Dave Ramsey, the first saving you should make is $1,000 emergency fund. So, for example, when you're trying to get out of debt and your car breaks, your tire blows out, your air conditioning in your house goes bad and it's 98 degrees, You don't have to go into credit 18 to 24% interest. You can just go to that emergency fund. The first thing, do you have $1,000 saved that you're not touching ever? No? Okay, well, that's why we're doing this. I'm not beating you up. I'm not saying you're doing something wrong. I'm just trying to help you. Okay? A lot of stress, a lot of peace is lost because money issue. So why not do it God's way? Why not do it Bible way? And God says, you got to save. Rick Warren says, in every nation, there are wealth makers and wealth takers. Pastor, this message is so unspiritual. This message could be the most spiritual thing you can get right now. Because you can't even pray because your bills are like stacked up. You can't even read your Bible because you're so stressing out. But the bills, Pastor, the bills. Can't even pray. So God says, why not just take care of this thing so you can grow further? And I think our financial situation is directly connected to our spiritual situation. You can't grow further spiritually unless you figure out your money. Because money is a spiritual thing too. God created it too. You know God created money? Gold? Where did it come from? God? Right? God did that too. For our currency. Still currency up to today. Gold is. Okay? So in every nation, there are wealth makers and wealth takers. Sometimes more wealth takers than wealth makers. And so here's what God wants in His house, in His kingdom. He wants people who are responsible and they take a percentage and they save it. Save it. Dave Ramsey said, save it for a rainy day. How many of you know it's going to rain? No matter what you do, you can confess and say, oh, no, not in my life. It's not going to rain. It's going to rain. And so God says, you save. So when a rainy day comes, you don't trust money. Remember, you don't trust your savings account. But it's nice to have it there just so you can go and use it. Last summer, and this is how I know I'm getting older. I was driving to a lake with my family, and I was eating seeds, and I broke my tooth. You know you're getting older. Thank God the young people are gone. So they're still at the camp. They're actually having a service right now at the camp. So that's awesome. We're having two services going on at the same time. There's about 40 of them there. So, and I went to the doctor, and it's like, $2,000 to put a new tooth on top of the old one. And what if I didn't have it? Thank God I had it. So I went in. I have the Obamacare thing, but I don't have dental with it. And so I had to pay for it. It was such a good feeling, just writing a check. Yeah, I didn't like writing a check. It was a little less under $2,000. Got a good dentist, all right, but it was a nice feeling that I was able to pay that, and be like, what if I didn't? I would have left it the way it is, and what happens to when you leave a tooth? It starts decaying, so you create bigger problem. You see why God wants you? I don't know what emergency is going to come up tomorrow, but God says, listen to this, a wise man saves for the future. Yeah. And it's almost un-American to save now. Come on, people, but it is godly to save. It is godly to save. Is this message hitting home too close? Little? Okay. Well, listen, for 10 years, I was there. And now for 7 years, we've been debt free. There's such a difference. It's like you don't even worry about money. You go work. You still work. I work hard. I love working. But you don't worry about it so much. And in those first 10 years, that's all we worried about and fought and argued about was the money. And God says, come on. You're his children. He says, I love you. Come on, listen to this pastor with an accent. He knows what he's talking about. Do what he says. A Rockefeller, who was like the super rich man before Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, said he lives by this principle. And why he gained so much wealth, and I think this principle applies in our life. He says, I give 10%, I save 10%, and I live on 80%. What a good principle. So how much should you save? You should save 10%. But you're like, but I need everything. Have you noticed when you were making less, you needed all of it? And now you're making more, you still need all of it? And tomorrow you're going to get a raise and you will bump up your lifestyle to that and you'll need all of it and it'll never be enough. So why not start today? There's a thing Dave Ramsey taught us on Wednesday called compounding interest. Doesn't sound spiritual again, Pastor. Come on, give us something spiritual. This is, it's connected to your spirit. So you got to save. Here's what Proverbs 13:11 says. Money that comes easily disappears quickly, but money that is gathered little by little will grow. And Dave Ramsey in the last class told us what? If you start early, and if you're a young person, start today. Put that 10% away and make it a habit. And someday you won't even need that 10% anymore because you live on the 80. And 80 will always be enough. Amen. This is good stuff. But I can't save, Pastor. I had a friend, he's passed away now. And he said, a young guy, he said he would spend a weekend $300 just going clubbing. Yeah. I'm like, really? I thought beer is cheap. I thought beer is cheap. And he's like, well, yeah, you have to buy a beer and, you know, get drunk. You buy a little more and you buy everybody. And then, you know, you have to go eat and there's other stuff you buy. And he's like, every weekend I would spend $300. He said, that's why I stopped clubbing. I'm like, imagine if he could save that $300 every weekend. Where would he be today? If you're in your early 20s, maybe 30s, you're like, we have to have this stuff, Pastor, because, you know, in order for us to show to our peers that we're doing good, we have to have all this stuff. And that's the biggest lie, because, you know, they're broke and you're broke, and their marriage is hurting and your marriage is hurting, but yet on the outside, we look like we're spiritual because we have stuff. You have a boat that you don't even use. Wow. Okay, I got to go. We got to get finished here. I got 10 minutes left, and we got to pray. Number three, the law of true financial freedom. And this is biblical. Ecclesiastes 11:12. Remember to invest. What? Bible seems to talk a lot about money. Yes, it does. Our heart is so connected to it. This is what it says. Invest what you have in several different places because you don't know what disaster might happen. Before, Ben Franklin, I believe, said that you should diversify. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. Solomon said, invest into several different incomes. So, did you know that all of the money that you make were never meant to be spent? A fool, Bible says, spends everything that he makes. A wise man or woman invests. Here's the thing about investment. It's the coolest thing. When you plant a seed, you always reap greater than you planted. Come on, somebody. Some of your money was meant to be sown. You sow now, you reap later more. That's biblical. Even to me, I'm preaching right now, and I'm almost hearing what you're hearing, what you're thinking. And I'm like, that's such an unspiritual message, Pastor. Investing now in church? We're talking about investing? I'm talking what the Bible says. And is it okay to preach the Bible in church?
Yeah,
okay, that's good. You sow now, you reap more later. Later is greater. So if you can sacrifice now a little bit, you will reap greater later. That's a biblical principle. Did you know that many parables of Jesus were about investing? Do you remember the parable he said to one man, he gave 5 talents. To one he gave 2, to one he gave 1. He says, go invest it. The one with 5 went and invested it and got 5 more back. What is that? Profit. And what did God say? Good and faithful servant, you have been faithful with this much, I will give you more. He says, take the 10 and go invest it again. In another parable, he says, if you've been faithful over 5 cities, you'll be managing 10 cities. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe that's still in the future. Maybe heaven, you know, there'll be cities and stuff. But and then there was the guy who had 2. That means God doesn't give to everybody equally. To some, he gives more wealth to manage according to their ability. To some, he gives less wealth to manage. To the second one, he gave 2 talents, and the second one went out and invested it. Remember that story? And God says, good and faithful servant, take the 4 talents now and go use it. And then the third one came, who got 1 talent. And you know what? He came in angry at God. He was pissed. He said, you are an evil master. Come on, that's what it says. That's what it says in the Bible. Not the pissed part, but he was angry. But he said, you are an evil master. You reap where you do not sow. Hold on a second. Who gave you the 1 talent, boy? What do you mean I reap where I do not sow? See how God looks at us? Some of us are like, God, you didn't give me anything, so I'm not giving you anything back. What do you mean I didn't give you anything? I give you your life. I give you abilities. I give you your looks. I give you your strength. I give you your intellect. I give you your IQ. What do you mean I didn't give you anything? He says, so you know what I did? The one with 1 talent, he dug a hole and buried it. And he says, here is 1 talent. And God says, I don't want 1 talent. I want 2. Read your Bible, people. Sometimes we make God this. Our culture loves to make God somebody who he's not. Read your Bible. They take parts of him and make him fluffy. And oh my goodness, it's not real God. Not real God. Jesus said to the servants, take the servant and cast them out in outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Did I quote that parable correctly? Some of you don't know because it sounds too radical. I did quote it correctly. I know my Bible. Amen. And so God has given you something, and he says, what I have given you is so you can be a blessing to others, so you can invest, so you can save. Saving is a blessing to yourself. When you invest, God gives you more so you can bless others. Amen. And the greatest thing you can do, and the greatest place you can invest your money, is so people can get saved, and they, when they die, they don't go to hell, but they go to heaven. Amen. And that's what our church does. That's why I believe we have the greatest mission on earth. And I'm not being arrogant when I say that, because whatever you do on earth, and like saving puppies, puppies and cats, you know, animals, is a great thing. I love puppies. I love cats. We got 2 cats right now, and we love cats. But cats will die, and I don't know if they go to heaven. Bible doesn't say. You can believe whatever you want. So it's one of those things. But we know people go to heaven. People live forever. And so what we do at New Life impacts eternity. Amen. It impacts eternity. And so I can't be so selfish where I just live for myself. And I get before God and God says, what did you do with all that I given you? And you're like, well, I lived well. was born in America, we lived really well. Way better than everybody else in the world, right? And God says, what have you done with the investment, with the talents that I've given you? And I want to be the one that says, here's what you've given me, and here's what I bring you back. Right. And you know what he says? Good and faithful servant. And it's not just about money here. Get a bigger picture. It's not just about money. It's what you did with your life. And money is attached to it all. Right. Amen. Amen. Those are the three principles. Remember where it comes from. Two, remember to save. And when do you need to start saving? Now. If you're 18, when do you need to start saving? Now. And number three, remember to invest. Those are spiritual principles of money from the Bible. Now, if you don't, will God stop loving you? I told the young people in the camp, God loves his smart children and dumb children just the same. God loves his stupid kids and smart kids just the same. Do you love your dumb? Well, don't answer that. Not all of our kids are, you know, but we love them just the same. But I'm not going to entrust my business to a dumb kid. I'm smart enough to know. I'm going to love you just as much. Maybe even more, because you always get hurt. So maybe God loves us a little more, hugs us a little more, but you know what? He doesn't entrust us with a lot of big things. So God says, hey, if you're going to be faithful with, what does he call it? Unrighteous mammon. I'm going to put you over the true riches. That's in the Bible. Check your Bibles. If you will be faithful with unrighteous, with money, okay, it's a worldly thing. I will bless you with true riches. Amen. Hallelujah. I really do think God loves us. I really do believe God just cares for us. He cares for you. He's sick and tired of watching you just always do a school of hard knocks, you know, always bumping your head into things. He says, just listen and live. Jesus said, I have come for this reason, so you may have life, and a life more abundantly. I'm so happy that God cares about my money. Not just my prayer life, but my money too. I'm so happy that He cares and He gives me wisdom so I can live. Not worry about, not focused. See, whatever we focus on, we worship. And if I focus all week on money, I'm not worshiping God. So God wants to make your money just a tool, a background thing, so your focus can truly be on the one who gives richly for our enjoyment. So my command here to you is be rich, because God said in His word, He wants you to be rich. In Jesus' name, I want you to close.